Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The Apostle Paul's first missionary journey had taken him west to the island of Cyprus, Salamis, Paphos, Perga in Pamphylia, Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, Acts 13 and 14. Paul and his companions then retraced their steps and returned to Antioch in Syria. They met with the church in Antioch, the city where the disciples were first called Christians, and rehearsed all that the Lord had done with them. Acts 14:27. It should be emphasized in passing that it was not what they had done on their own, but what God had done with them. Does anyone imagine that these great missionaries could have accomplished so much without the marvelous grace of our God? Paul wanted to give credit where credit was due to the Lord Jesus Christ. On Paul's second missionary tour, he and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Acts 15:41. It was at Troas where Paul received the famous Macedonian call. Acts 16:9-10. The Lord called Paul and Silas to go to the city of Philippi in the province of Macedonia, where they met and taught Lydia, the very first convert on European soil. The next converts were from the house of the Philippian jailer. Paul then preached in Thessalonica, another city of Macedonia. Afterward, he traveled to Berea, and then on to Athens, one of the great intellectual cities of the world. After Paul and Silas had passed through and preached in the cities I have mentioned, they came to the city of Corinth. Acts 18:1. Can you imagine being sent or volunteering to go to the city of Corinth? It was one of the wickedest cities on the face of God's earth. Every evil you can imagine, and some you probably cannot imagine, plagued that Greek city. And yet the Lord wanted Paul and Silas to go there to preach the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. The Lord knew He could change some hearts through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Our Lord is always concerned about turning men and women from Satan to the Savior, from sin to salvation. He knew preaching at Corinth would take all the courage He could provide for these great preachers of the gospel, but He wanted a church established there. Many of us, including your speaker, would be reluctant to go to a city as wicked as Corinth. I remember reading a story in the Commercial Appeal of Memphis about a preacher and his wife who vacationed in Las Vegas, Nevada. As they drove through the city, they stopped at a filling station to get gas for their car. The preacher looked across the street from the gas station and saw a church building. He turned to his wife and asked, "Do they have churches in Las Vegas?" To make a long story short, his denomination called him to the church he had seen across the street from the filling station. He then decided that gambling was not really all that bad, and even strippers could be overlooked as not being too sinful. How does a preacher change a city when he joins in the sins of that city? Paul's preaching at Corinth brought men and women out of darkness into the sunlight of God's love. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul asked, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He then wrote, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. That, dear friends, is the kind of preaching Corinth needed and the kind they received. That is also the kind our world must have if we are to change men from following Satan to serving our Savior. Thank you, and may God bless you.